Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we put it out there a couple of times in recent days that Republicans could actually pick up the House seat long held by Chuck Schumer and then Anthony Weiner. And Tuesday night, the voters of Brooklyn and Queens actually gave Republicans the victory, pretty convincingly, certainly in terms of a district that leans 3-1 in registration for Democrats, Bob Turner over David Weprin. He got a lot of crossover support, including from the former Democratic mayor, Ed Koch, who they actually gave a chance to speak into the microphone last night.
The message is, Mr. President, listen to us.
And we chronicled earlier in the week, Jim, how Obama's approval rating in this heavily Democratic district is only 31%. His treatment of Israel in a district with 40% Jewish population, very much a factor. Weprin also in that very conservative socially demographic among Orthodox Jews, I think paid a big price for voting for gay marriage, it seems like. But of course, we've got the situation in Nevada, which shouldn't be overlooked, although the New York story is obviously going to get most of the headlines. But Mark Amaday, this is a district that leans Republican, not a lot. He won dominating fashion out there. A great night for Republicans and a big-time rebuke for the president.
Yeah, I see Ed Koch is his traditional soft-spoken style. I just wish he could speak up a little so everyone could hear him. We kind of saw things heading in this direction in the lead-up. The two things about last night that I think were really surprising, one is Turner won by, I believe it was 54% to 46%. I mean, that wasn't even all that close, which is kind of striking. Two, as you said, in Nevada, you know, Amaday was looking good. There's no doubt about that. The DCCC had given up on this and spent $500,000 on the New York race in the closing days. And Amaday won by 22 percentage points. That's a lot, even in a somewhat Republican district. So the Democrats have a lot of excuses they can point to. They can say their candidates weren't as strong as they could have been. They could say that it's a special election and turnout is lower than it usually is. And all that stuff is perfectly true. But let's face it, if unemployment was 5% and if Barack Obama's approval rating was, you know, close to 50% or if it was above 50%, these two races would probably look very different. And so I hope listeners will forgive me. I was on MSNBC earlier this morning, but Chuck Todd has a pretty good program. And I said, look, the big thing for Democrats is how different do they think the national environment is going to be a year from now? We're heading into fall 2012. You know, could unemployment get a little better? Yeah. The country feel a little bit better? I guess so. But no one's expecting a sudden burst of love for incumbent lawmakers. And chances are the economy is probably still going to be pretty crappy. And so the general mood of the country probably isn't going to change that much, even if you want to say the electorate is volatile and they're angry and they're looking to lash out. Look, you know, the idea that somehow they're going to suddenly feel like things are going terrific in Washington and they're happy with the way this president is doing, it's very hard to see that scenario taking shape. And I think, you know, the common metaphor is, you know, Democrats are reaching for the Maylocks, et cetera. A couple more like this, they'll be reaching for the hemlock, Greg.
Yeah, I think you might be right. And, of course, it probably is no coincidence that on the day that the Democrats lost a seat they hadn't lost since the same day Warren G. Harding got elected in 1920, that they're trying to figure out the best way for the president to win re-election, and that's basically to demonize opponents. So the snitch site came out for the president's campaign for everybody supposed to basically report on their neighbors who say anything negative about the president, which should make us all feel good about the First Amendment. And, of course, the idea from the Obama administration will be to demonize whoever the Republican nominee is. Now, moving on to martini number two, given some comments over the past couple of days, it would seem a little less likely that that nominee for the Republicans will be Michelle Bachmann. You may think that's a bit odd for us to say, just a day after we thought that she might have well presented herself as the conservative alternative if Rick Perry should stumble. But Michelle Bachmann, who did score some points on the HPV vaccine issue at the Monday night debate in Florida, took it a little further, and what some would say a whole lot further, in her follow-up interview after the debate with Greta Van Susteren on Fox News.
There's a woman who came up crying to me tonight after the debate. She said her daughter was given that vaccine. She told me her daughter suffered mental retardation as a result of that vaccine. There are very dangerous consequences. It's not good enough to take, quote, a mulligan, where you want a do-over, not when you have little children's lives at risk.
Jim, a lot of people out there saying that it's one thing for her to criticize the governor for mandating this, although there were parental opt-outs, I believe, and just even having that big government mindset that Perry seems to regret at this point. But to now talk about the mental retardation aspect, a lot of people saying this smells of hocus-pocus science and the whole vaccines cause autism line of thinking, and so this could potentially damage her in a big way.
Greg, I know you're a rhino like me. Inside the Beltway, we're at our Georgetown cocktail parties, and you and I are always saying, how can we undermine real conservatives? By the way, certain listeners out there will completely miss the sarcasm that I'm hoping is dripping from every word as I say here. But usually, if I utter an unkind word in the direction of Michelle Bachmann, I hear from people. And, you know, sometimes with well-thought-out arguments and sometimes with not such well-thought-out arguments. I don't think I got a single defender on this point yesterday. Not to say she doesn't still have supporters, not to say there aren't a lot of people who still have very fond feelings for her as a presidential candidate, but I think she really went into waters that most Republicans are really not enamored with. She was on Hannity yesterday, and Hannity asked about this, and she really didn't back down the way most of us, I think, would have liked to have seen her say, oh, you know, I was speaking extemporaneously, and I was repeating something I heard, and I should have checked it out before I said so. You know, none of that. She's like, well, you know, Sean, I just don't know what to think. No, you cannot get mental retardation because of a vaccination. I had said on MSNBC earlier this morning, look, I don't care what you think of regular McCarthyism. I don't want any Jenny McCarthyism in the Republican Party. I don't, you know, 9 times out of 10, the charge that Republicans are anti-science, I find to be BS. But if there's any segment of the Republican Party that wants to campaign against public vaccinations in general, you know, I'm baffled by this and disturbed by this, and you know, we gotta drive it right out of this party. Now, having said that, I think there's a lot of good questions to be asked about how Rick Perry's decision making went through in this Gardasil thing. He handled it terribly. I think he was tremendously insensitive to, I mean, in any state, not just Texas. If you go to the parent of a daughter and say, "Yeah, we're gonna give your 10-year-old daughter a vaccine for an STD." A lot of them are going to recoil from that. And we can argue about whether or not they should, but it's there. And I think you got to communicate and be very sensitive to the instinctive protective feelings of parents in this process. And Perry didn't do that. He did the whole thing by executive order and just kind of – it was clumsy throughout the whole thing. And that's not even getting into his, you know, lobbyist – the chief of staff being a former lobbyist for Merck, et cetera. So there was a really legitimate criticism here that I think she did herself a lot of good in that debate. And then immediately afterwards, just burned it all to heck by you know, suggesting that vaccinations can cause retardation.
I think that's exactly right. I think what should probably happen there is Michelle Bachmann, following the Reagan library debate, felt like she really needed to make a strong statement. And as you pointed out, she did. And then she felt probably there was more blood in the water than there was and ended up probably sinking her teeth into herself in confusion, trying to push it too far. And now she's having trouble walking it back. So we'll see if she ends up doing that and just how much that ends up hurting her as we head into the debate next Thursday. But I can guarantee a Gardasil, Merck, and vaccines will definitely be a topic at the Fox News debate. Anyway, on to our crazy martini today and back to our good martini as kind of the backdrop for that. And that, of course, is the big win for Bob Turner up in New York 9. As I mentioned before, the Democrats hadn't lost that seat since 1920. They've held it since 1923. That's 88 years by my public school math, Jim. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, defends it in a couple different ways that I don't think are going to help her or the party at large. Number one, by saying this has always been a tough district for Democrats, so it's not a huge surprise that we lost it. I think 88 years is a pretty solid track record that this is solidly Democratic.
If this is difficult, what's easy?
I'm not really sure. And then she goes on to say that, you know, because there was such large percentage of Orthodox Jews in the district. Wow, those are just Orthodox Jews. That's not the mainline Jews who generally vote for the Democratic Party, so I'm not too worried. So way to shrink your voting block there, Debbie. Not trying to say, you know, we understand where they're coming from. We need to do a better job of articulating why we are still good friends with Israel. It's, we don't need them.
You know, I'm going to bring back kind of an old-fashioned notion that, look, I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in a really tough spot when she talks about the special elections yesterday. I mean, there's just really no way to say this is anything but really bad news for the Democrats. So I think that every once in a while, a member of a party, a member of a group organization that's been going through really tough times, when they're in a circumstance like this, where there is no good spin, there is no good counter argument, there is no good counter evidence to cite, that when said, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, doesn't this, you know, don't these special elections suggest the Democratic Party is in trouble heading into a presidential election year? She should be able to just say pass and just move on to the next question, because there's just no good answer she's going to be able to give to that one. And I think everyone would just kind of be able to, you know, nod and say, all right, you know, you get, there is no good answer. We know that there's no creative spin that she can bring to this. And so as a result, we should just kind of respect that and just kind of say, yeah, the party's in trouble. Let's move on to some other topic.
Yeah, you'd think she'd at least say something like, well, everybody's frustrated with Washington and Democrats have been in this district and we have a Democratic president, so maybe they took it out that way. But, you know, they'll see the error of their ways or something. But no, she just completely makes facts up, which has been her modus operandi all along when it comes to the economy and everything else about how this president has turned around the economy and a lot of other things. She's quickly entering into the category of no one who is serious about politics is going to believe a word she says, and she's got to be careful about that.
I mean, think about how much easier Carney's day would be if at least just once per day, you know, Jake Tapper hits him with a hard when he says pass.
Wouldn't we all like that once in a while?
But, yeah. At some point when you say, you know, Jim, give me, you know, on a really depressing day, Jim, do you have any good martinis? Pass.
Wasn't even Bush's fault. Crazy. Anyway,
there you go.
Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.